Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Moore! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All right, hour two of the radio get-together here till 10 o'clock tonight on this Sunday in New York. Free agency going on in the NFL. For many people, it's thank God, because they, boy, if they didn't have this, they'd have nothing. And thankfully, we have Daryl Slater from NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com. Paul Rosenberg, by the way, on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to hour two of the program, and we welcome Mr. Slater. Daryl, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. The fans wanted offensive linemen, and both teams obliged so far, both Joe Douglas and Dave Gettleman, deciding that that was a good place to start and maybe get some skill position players in the draft. What are your thoughts right now about where the two teams are in this free agent period?
Well, I think if you look at the Jets, they attacked, you know, the interior of their offensive line most notably. I mean, Connor McGovern could be a pretty good center for them, and Greg Van Roten, the guy from the Panthers, the guard who they got yesterday, could be the end for Brian Winters with the Jets. So the interior of the offensive line kind of getting shored up there by Joe Douglas, but obviously a lot of questions still at tackle because, you know, George Fant and Chuma Adoga don't really inspire a lot of hope. And then I think there's something similar there for the Giants, and you've kind of felt good about where they were at guard with Zeitler and Will Hernandez. And then the issue, of course, at center with John Jalapio may not be back, and if he is, he's coming off the torn Achilles tendon. So there's an issue at center. We know it's been well documented, the struggles with Nate Solder at left tackle, and Mike Remmers is now gone, the right tackle. So what does Dave Gettleman do there? Both of these teams still have a big issues at offensive tackle, and you're looking at draft positions in 4 and 11 for the Giants and Jets, where they could go out and, you know, they could get one of these notable offensive tackles in the draft. So, you know, I'd look to the draft for maybe something like that, kind of a repeat of, you know, 06 when the Jets got to Brickenshaw Ferguson.
Wow. So you think that they still, and it's not a surprise, it's just that you're thinking, you know, how much better can they get there, and what about the other deficiencies on the team? They did get their tight end re-signed today, which was good, bringing him back, the Jets bringing back Ryan Grigg. That's obviously good news, but they're still at wideout, you know, very much in need, and it's supposed to be a very deep draft there, and a lot of people thinking with these moves that they would be more likely to go to wideout than tackle, given what they have done, even though, as you say, it's hardly a proven group in there, although they like the center. Otherwise, they're fishing a little bit with these picks.
Right. I think the Jets could probably get through a year with Fant and Adoga at left and right tackle. The Giants, they need a right tackle. They don't have one. So maybe they can go out in number four and get a guy like Mekhi Becton, put him at right tackle, and maybe have him be the left tackle in 2021 after cutting Nate Solder. Yes, the Jets, I think, you know, depending on what happens with Robbie Anderson, perhaps more likely at 11 to get a guy like Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb there, a receiver who they can slot in there and then try to just get by with what they have on the offensive line. And who knows which of those tackles is even going to be available at 11 of the main four, Becton and Andrew Thomas and Tristan Wirfs and that group of guys. So, I think the Jets could certainly go receiver there, and we'll see what happens with Robbie Anderson. I mean, he could very well return to the Jets on a one-year prove-it deal at this point because he's still kind of lingering out there in free agency.
Yeah, kind of a surprise that he hasn't found a home yet, and maybe good news for the Jets' payroll that they can get him back a little less than what people had projected a month or two ago on Robbie Anderson, but no decision made there yet. how do you look at, like, I'm looking at these two quarterbacks and thinking that both general managers really want to evaluate them with the best players around them that they can have. So both the offenses have been disappointing. We know that Barkley is a real stud player, but he wasn't able to help them much last year in the overall scheme of things offensively. The Jets really struggled offensively, and yet both general managers like their quarterback. So you would think that both teams are still going to look offensively first, and then you add the rules, which sort of really favor offense right now. So is that what you're expecting, that both of these teams will lean offense in the early rounds of the draft?
Yeah, I think for sure, and especially if Robbie Anderson, you know, leaves the Jets, where does that leave them in terms of having some weapons for Sam Darnold? And obviously, Le'Veon Bell had his struggles last season, you know, perhaps part due to the fact that Adam Gase wasn't really sold on him in the first place, and also their offensive line was pretty terrible last season. They couldn't get a push in the running game, so maybe that will be the case this year. They get a better push there. They can free up things for Le'Veon Bell and free up things for Sam Darnold, who, of course, has to stay healthy too. I mean, the mono thing was obviously through no fault of his own, but let's see what happens if he plays a full season with a better offensive line. And the reality is, they're not going to have a ton of great skill position guys. I mean, it's not like they went out and got Amari Cooper. They didn't. So, you know, his receivers are kind of going to be who they're going to be. I mean, maybe Robbie Anderson, you know, Jamison Crowder there. So, there's certainly still some question marks for the Jets. And that's what happens when you draft as poorly as they did for as long as they have under John Idzik, late years of Mike Tannenbaum, and certainly Mike Maccagnan. So, you know, that's where they've put themselves. And, you know, with the Giants and Daniel Jones, obviously Saquon Barkley is a talented player, and Evan Engram could be if he can stay healthy. And then the same goes for Sterling Shepard. I mean, what do the Giants do with a receiver? They feel good about Shepard, Tate, and Darius Slayton. I think if healthy, they can feel good about that group. But maybe go out and get a complimentary receiver, because Sterling Shepard has a lot of concussion issues. No telling what that means going forward. So, I think that, you know, there's certainly some uncertainty here from these groups. And that, you know, gets back to the fact that, you know, they have not drafted particularly well going back several years. So the Giants maybe have turned a little bit of a corner there.
No, there's no question that, you know, that when you look at all the struggles of all our teams, and all teams everywhere, you can always start with that sentence. Well, I can bet that they didn't draft well. And you're generally going to be right, no matter what the sport is, that if they're struggling year after year, they've had bad drafts. And these two teams are certainly that. The edge rusher has become the key position for everybody. They really want an edge rusher. It's mentally stimulating for your fan base and for your teammates. And in reality, it obviously changes the game a little bit. How hard will it be for them to improve, both teams, to improve their edge rushing?
I mean, geez, I mean, these teams have both had a pretty poor pass rush.
Really? I mean, they have.
Several years now.
Yeah.
The Jets haven't had an elite offensive, elite edge rusher, I should say, since John Abraham.
Right.
I mean, you're talking almost two decades.
Yeah, and Abraham, as we all remember, was always hurt, and he drove you crazy because he couldn't play a lot of weeks. So even then, he was great when he played, but he missed a lot of games.
Right, so I think if you look at this, you know, these teams have tried to get that guy, whether it's through the draft or, primarily, obviously, through the draft, and have not been able to hit on that. So the questions for the Jets are this. Now, Brandon Copeland, one of their outside linebackers, solid player, not a great edge rusher.
Right.
Left in free agency for the Patriots. So where does that leave the Jets? Will they re-sign Jordan Jenkins? That's a question. He wants more than they're willing to give him. Could Jenkins land with the Giants, as they kind of try to put this thing together with some non-star edge rushers? Where does Jadeveon Clowney land? It sounds like he doesn't have a big market. Maybe the Giants and Jets aren't in the mix for him. So maybe he's back in Seattle on a prove-it deal, and then you're looking at a situation where both the Giants and Jets try to patch it together with some lower-profile guys on the edge. You know, the Giants did get Kyler Fackrell, which is a kind of a mouthful to say, from the Packers in free agency here. So, but he's not. The guy's not Reggie White.
Right.
I think that they need to get to a point where their draft picks, whether that's Lorenzo Carter or O'Shane Zimenez, really taken the next step here. I mean, it's still uncertain about whether they're going to be able to do that. And I think Jordan Jenkins is a little bit of a wild card for, the Jets. Does he come back, and could he go to the Giants? So you know, he had a good year last year pass rush wise, and you know, maybe he can build on that. He's typically been more of a run stopper, but maybe he's got a chance to build on some progress he's made lately. But again, they're not getting Chase Young. Not every team's getting Chase Young.
Right.
So what do they do in the draft? I mean, is there something they try to address there? And you know, you go back to some of the struggles the Jets have had in the draft. Lorenzo Maldon, round three, edge rusher, didn't flopped big time. So that's what happens.
How's Vernon Ghostin doing? How's his?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, that goes back to a while ago.
But
yeah,
look, yeah, the list
they
is
really,
a long one.
Really kind of spotted.
Yeah, the list is a long one. It's interesting that the two teams, Daryl, we're talking to Daryl Slater, NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com. It's interesting the two teams have such similar needs, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, you're talking about offensive tackle, edge rusher, and cornerback. You know, now the Giants have filled the cornerback spot with James Bradbury from the Panthers, and so the Jets today signing Pierre Desir from the Colts, who just got cut. But I mean, is he a number one? I mean, look at that Jets. So who that cornerback group is? Pierre Desir, and then you have Brian Poole in the slot, and then who's the other guy going to be? Arthur Mollett? I mean, come on, like, but that's, you know, they struck out with Tremaine Johnson in like a historically bad way. You know, Janoris Jenkins had his moments for the Giants, but ultimately didn't work out. And they really, really need the Giants dude, DeAndre Baker, to take the next step this year. Maybe Bradbury can kind of mentor him along and then see what they have with that safety duo of maybe Julian Love at free safety and with Peppers at with strong safety. So big time question marks in hugely important areas. Like if you put quarterback at number one in the NFL for most important, edge rusher, then cornerback and offensive tackle are right up there in the top five of your most important positions. And I don't think anyone can look at either of these teams and say they feel great about those spots right now.
How do you look at the virus affecting these teams and the NFL in general being the sport that's farthest away from when it would normally start?
Well, I think if you look at the Giants in what the calendar would normally be, April 6th would be the date that teams with a new head coach are allowed to begin off-season workouts. And that's 2 weeks earlier than teams with a returning head coach. So that would be a big, obviously that's not happening. You know, we all know that's not going to, and then probably the off-season program, you're looking at probably nothing until training camp. So who does that impact the most? I think Joe Judge is a new head coach and Jason Garrett, the new offensive coordinator, trying to incorporate things with Daniel Jones. That impacts them in a big way. Obviously, Adam Gase has been around for a year. He doesn't have a new quarterback, and Sam Darnold knows the system. Obviously, it's going to impact every team, but I think teams with a new coach, it's going to significantly impact those teams, and you know it's definitely going to be a detriment to the Giants and a lot of teams. But that's the reality of where we are right now, and I would be shocked if anything happens practice wise or workout wise at a team facility at all until training camp at the earliest, and then who knows beyond that. This thing has been so unpredictable that it's really hard to tell what it might eventually put in jeopardy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let's finish with your overall assessment on the two quarterbacks. Do you think that Giant and Jet fans should be optimistic about the talent of these two guys and the fact that you would think, hope, predict that 5 years from now they'll both still be here? What are your thoughts?
I think if you put it on an optimism scale with 10 being most optimistic and 1 being least, I think at this point you can probably put Darnold at 6.5. He's had some flashes. There's question marks about whether he's been able to stay healthy. They played well with him last year when he was able to stay healthy. There's mitigating factors with the line not being good enough. But I think he's shown some flashes. But the jury entering year 3 on this kid is still very much out. And that has to be a little bit of a concern. With Jones, maybe you put the optimism factor at, you know, 7.5. He had a pretty good rookie year, and did it with obviously he had his own issues with injuries later on, but he did it with an offensive cast that was so banged up, as you remember, throughout the course of the year. Their big four offensive players never got on the field together. So I think you put it with Jones at the 7 just because it's so, you know, it's earlier in his career. If Jones goes out and flatlines next year in terms of having the same type of numbers or doesn't really improve, I think obviously the optimism goes down, because by year 3, that's the reality in today's NFL. You need to know by year 3 whether one of these guys is going to be the guy. I mean, obviously neither is Christian Hackenberg in terms of being that bad. But I think the jury's still out, and it's way too early to say whether either or both of these guys is going to be a long-term solution. But I think it's also too early to say that they won't. So, I mean, I know that's a wishy-washy answer, but with Darnold, maybe a little bit more concerning because you have more of a body of work there. But let's see what he does in year two of Gase's system. That's the other thing. He had a coaching change, and now that's what Jones is going to have to go through. Similar type thing. Coaching change, new offensive coordinator, that whole deal. So it's interesting, again, in that scenario, how they've kind of mirrored each other 1 year apart at the quarterback position with a coaching and offensive system change. So there's certainly enough hope there, I think, to not say, oh, you know, they're definitely going to be looking for a quarterback in a year or two.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. I'm not as optimistic as a lot of other people are, but I'm also not ready to throw in the towel on either one. So we'll all watch together, hopefully, sooner rather than later. Darryl, we appreciate it so much. Stay safe, stay healthy out there, and appreciate you coming on The Fan tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You as well.
All right, thank you. Darryl Slater, NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com, on the Jets and Giants and the similar situations that they are in as they continue along in free agency period, trying to work their way through these difficult times and the uncertainty that their players and the draft picks, you know, we love the money that these guys make, or we think that it makes things a lot easier. And let's be honest, in some ways it does. But there's also a lot of, you know, I mean, there's a lot of concern everywhere because money is only one part of this challenge that we are all facing right now. And it's nice to put that part behind you. I'm not saying for a second that it's not, because it's real for people that are trying to put food on the table.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.